You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So let's start with how Telstra outages have left Aboriginal residents of Groot Archipelago in Northern Territory without food for 5 days. Council members have called the response of Telstra police and the government manifestly inadequate, which of course isn't surprising, but are we getting any closer to restoring power and food to them?
Yes, I believe that has happened, but they had to spend a few days with no way of buying food, fuel, or even contacting emergency services, and then obviously having no support from emergency services. So it was a pretty harrowing event for the community there. Telstra apologised for the event. They said that flooding and storms was why they couldn't get out to the area to restore what they needed to. Telstra has a bit of a history with regional areas and not providing adequate service for them in the past. And it's just a bit shocking to hear this in 2020, that things like this still happen to remote areas, that they can't get adequate phone service or internet. They don't carry much cash
for
this community, so they rely very heavily on bank cards and FPOS, but everything was absolutely down and no one was able to access any food, internet, lighting, power. Pretty awful.
It's pretty standard now in 2020 for people to only have cards and not have cash. Is there going to be, do you think this event might be a catalyst for Telstra to provide infrastructure for if that happens again?
I hope so. I hope that they are reassessing how in many of these areas it might be hard to access, how they would be able to better help them if there was any more outages. I mean, it doesn't seem that hard if you think about it. I know that, but you know, I don't know. I don't work for Telstra or anything. I don't know the crux of it. But I'm really hoping that Telstra will go back and again reassess how they provide services for communities that, you know, a bit regional, a bit rural, in the future.
Mm. So, other big news: Australian Associated Press is going to shut down. What's your response? Yes.
Oh my gosh! After 85 years. AOP, Australia Associated Press, they're shutting down. They announced this the other day. There's been obviously massive support from the entire community, media community, about trying to save AOP. It's an absolute massive blow to Australian media. And I do really mean that with a heavy heart. Here at Radio Adelaide, we have our newsreaders source a lot of stuff from AAP. They are unbiased, they are reliable, they're a good egg, and it is terrifying to see them go. But it is just the climate we're living in. AAP have cited that it comes down a lot to paywalls and free content elsewhere, a lack of subscribers, and free distribution of news content everywhere else. And it is just really across the board amongst a lot of media organisations in Australia. Unless you're sort of at the top, it's the future looks shaky for everyone. I mean, for example, just here at Radio Adelaide, I mean, we're just a little community radio. Well, not a little community radio. We're actually the first community radio station in the country. We've just come off the back of a Save Radio Adelaide campaign over the end of last year, just before Christmas, to try and raise money in order to keep us alive. And we were so lucky to reach our target and have backing from Adelaide and community alike and everyone who's volunteered here. But, you know, it's everyone struggling everywhere. To see AOP go is, it's really terrifying.
Yeah, and you touched on, you know, it is definitely a symptom of like our neoliberal media climate. Do you think the disappearance of a historically productive check on power, do you think that absence is going to show quite quickly by the time they're out of the landscape?
Do you mean in terms of diversity within the media landscape in Australia, if AAP go, there certainly will be this lacking of different voices and fair news. We are run, everyone knows this, Australia's run so much by the Murdoch institution,
right.
who are obviously very quite right in their thinking and publishing, and Rupert Murdoch himself supports the Liberal Party financially, this, that, the other. So to see AAP go, yeah, there will be a lack in news outlets that are able to give reliable, unbiased news to everyone. In saying that, we still have some good ones. We still have SBS, ABC,
yeah,
The Guardian, but still, it's just sad. It really sucks.
Scary.
But there have been lots of people have been, there was a hashtag trending, save AAP, and the people at AAP have said that they've felt very heartwarmed by the response. They're planning to close their doors in June. You know, I can, we'll see, but I think, I don't know what would be needed to see a turnaround for them to not have to close, but I'm not sure if that's as likely as I think we hope.
Yeah. I mean, it will come down to disestablishing the Murdoch Institution and...
I mean, we can try and make that hashtag trendy.
Eat the rich.
Destroy everything. Yeah.
So, yeah. Diane Parker... or the late Diane Parker, was one of 18 former staff to pursue compensation from the courts after their experience being security guards at Manus Island. Is that, am I recapping that correctly?
Yes, yeah.
And so what the first case is going to proceed to trial next week. What is that process looking like? What's the legality behind it?
Yeah, so... these 18 staff members are seeking compensation from the Australian government. This is after this riot in February 2014. This riot saw the death of one of the people staying in the camp. It also saw injuries to 70 other people, including guards. And these 18 guards are trying to... essentially, the Manus Island was so under-equipped, as things as really faulty gates they're citing. There was no proper security training. There was no CCT cameras. And look, obviously Manus Island as a whole is an awful concept, and we wouldn't want anyone to be on there. But when this riot did occur, the government not only had put all these people on the island, which is a vile act anyway, they, you know, left the security guards and people who were working on the island in equal amount of danger, I suppose. So when this riot did occur, the staff members, you know, suffer from... PTSD. Sorry, I can't remember the order it was.
It was PTSD.
Yeah, and trauma, and injuries. This was happening at a time in 2014 where there was an incredible increase of people going to Manus Island very quickly. Something like the detainees went from 130 to 1,300. So. Total overcrowding. The government was So they did not provide proper care in the situation in every, you know, facet. So the court will be, the trial will be taking place, I believe it's next week, to get some compensation for the guards.
Will that legal process have any discussion or consideration for, like, why those riots occurred and considering ways in which Australia has an obligation to relate to the asylum seekers who were forced into that environment?
Scott Morrison was the Home Affairs Minister at the time. We're hoping that they'll be held accountable.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.